blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutyampi, Tatyampi, Sama. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharma, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutyampi, Tatyampi, Sama. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Saha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself.
Dukkha,
the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of a path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hirdaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion. By compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. By compassionate mindfulness that proves this path. By compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply
with this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy, blessed day. Oh, happy, blessed place. Oh, happy, blessed time. Oh, happy, blessed path. Oh, happy, blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi saha. Again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
here to end suffering.
If any suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If any suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
That there are back gaps in the plant, now would be a good time to get one if you'd like one. And what would you like to look at this morning? Jen.
So sometimes we talk about the process is the outcome.
The process is the outcome.
Mm-hmm. Kind of meaning that, I saw a new layer of it yesterday. Not really new, but
It's always new, exactly.
But just that sense of, so often, at least I know for me, I get so focused on the end of something, the outcome of something. The classic being in school and writing a paper and, God, okay, it's going to be so great when I can turn that paper in.
And it's done, and it's off my back.
And that's such a good symbol of it, example of it, because of course the only reason I'm doing that paper is to learn, ostensibly, right? I'm in
although
school.
Very few people in school have that approach.
Really? And I didn't. Uh-huh. I absolutely didn't. Mm-hmm. No. I've so much through practice, I've had so much of my quote academic career drop in.
Fascinating, isn't it? Think about
yeah.
12 or more years in order to be
way
done
more.
With it.
Yeah,
not to try to learn something, but in order to get something.
Yeah.
That's really kind of wild.
It is, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? Yeah. And I think the more, I don't know if this is true, but I look at my own experience and then what I project onto people who have a different background, that the more it's just handed to you, the easier it is to just want to get through it.
Take it for granted.
Mm-hmm. And it's not really about the learning. And mm-hmm. and then I look at people I know who have access to almost zero education and the dedication to actually wanting to learn, mm-hmm. not to be in school even necessarily, but like wanting to learn, mm-hmm. learn to read, for example.
Yeah, like if you had to work in order to make the money to for the tuition, and
yeah.
there's just so much, yeah. It really changes the motivation, doesn't it?
It does, mm-hmm. yeah. So that's interesting. I hadn't even thought of that. I was just throwing it up as an example to illustrate it, but I'm sure it applies to what I'm seeing. So another thing we've been talking about of late is just how fun it is to have kind of a list of what I want to do in a given day.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've been, some people have been talking about a fun system around like doing putting stickers on the chart when you kind of finish those things.
A little star or
whatever it is. And all things, at least the way I've been practicing with it, all things that I want to do.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's not like, well, actually, that's a piece of what I was seeing. Because one of the things on my list is that to consciously every day do something that feels like it's, and I never know how to phrase it, but a selfless act or something like that, in the sense of something that the voices in my head would say, I don't want that. Or I don't want to do that, mm-hmm. or I do want that, or whatever, and to do the opposite.
Uh-huh.
So at least one time every day. And it's getting more and more challenging because the deeper I get into it, the more I realize, oh, it's all for me.
Uh-huh.
Do you know? So yeah. It's like
So it's hard to find something that truly, you don't want to do to get past it.
Yeah.
Because you really kind of want to do it all.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And ultimately, that's absolutely for me in the deepest sense, because that's for the heart. And what it is it's moving beyond the little self who only serves itself.
Yeah.
And that doesn't actually ironically serve me, the being, mm-hmm. at all.
Yeah, that's what I was saying too, as you're saying, that's why you're doing that practice.
Right.
Is where to get past that separate self who we tend to identify with and move to a specific place.
Yeah.
And then as you do that and you move to a place that's, it sounds like kind of like the self, separate self gets smaller and smaller, and it's harder and harder to kind of get it going to find some resistance to get past.
As you said that, I was like, well, I don't know if it's getting smaller and smaller, but... but anyway, so I had noticed over the last number of days that the little marks on my chart were getting few. So I was looking at, that's interesting. Hmm. Huh, what's going on there? So yesterday I was like, whatever else gets done, it doesn't matter. You know, off the list, off the this, off the that. I'm really going to focus on making sure I drink plenty of water, you know, kind of all the things I want to do. Mm-hmm. So that really, really took primary focus. Mm-hmm. So then at the end of the night last night, it was finally pouring rain, like Zambia, pouring rain.
First time this year, I think.
First time this year that we've gotten that much rain in such a short period of time. And it was, you know, kind of cold and that kind of thing. And there were a number of things still left on the list. And
that's a moment, isn't it?
It's a moment. Especially when it's like, oh, right.
It's like 8:30. You know?
So I started to just push through and do it. And this little voice, I think like a mentoring voice, dropped in and said, don't miss it, Jen. Mm-hmm. And what I got was, like, I even get goosebumps as I think about it, because it was like, I'm doing this for me, mm-hmm. or for life, or however you would say that. Mm-hmm. The process is the outcome.
It really is the outcome.
And that what I saw in that I don't think I'd seen so clearly before, was that, and if the attention's on the outcome, that means we don't get the process.
Right.
And because the process is the outcome, we don't get the outcome.
You don't get either one, do you? Yeah. Well, it's something else gets it.
Something else gets it. Gets the attention, gets the energy, gets the life force.
Yeah, I was saying that too, the energy and the life force. But that really is, that's kind of what you're doing, isn't mm-hmm. it? It's, I don't know, I can't think of the right word, it's not reclaiming, but something like that.
Kind of, yeah.
You're garnering or
yeah.
Gathering this life force that is rightly yours.
Yeah.
And we dissipate it through our attention.
Yeah.
And this is a very subtle place you're talking about, because you know, outwardly, you know, you're doing everything correctly.
Yeah, exactly. I'm being the right person. Mm-hmm.
But there's a little shift in attention from a little shift in motivation. Mm-hmm. And suddenly all that life force, it's not being sort of gathered unto you.
Yeah.
It's being given away to this thing in our minds that we're trying to get past.
You know, as you say that, someone quoted to me recently, and I won't, don't quote me on this quote, because
we'll hold you to it.
What I heard in it was that the Zen masters of old would say something along the lines of, wanting enlightenment is thinking about Zen. Mm. And that's what I saw in that process, mm-hmm. which is that doing it for the outcome of just getting it done is thinking about it. It's like a hollow experience. And I think why it came up is what that thing you were saying. It's like, it's not life living. It's an illusion of a separate self, quote, living.
Uh-huh.
But it's all, it's like an idea of whatever, taking out the garbage, or an idea of, you know, da da da. But it's not the experience of it.
Yeah, boy, that is such a tricky, subtle place, isn't it? Because it's like they're right next to each other. Mm-hmm. There's, just putting money with the quote, there's Zen. Uh-huh. You know, like true Zen, uh-huh. and then there's the idea of Zen.
Yeah.
And you know, this, of course, you know, conditioned mind is trying to bump us over here all the time.
All the time.
Because it can look like exactly looks like Zen.
Yeah.
But it's exact opposite of Zen.
Yeah. And I guess that's why, as I'm saying, like the experience in our bodies can be such a good compass for that.
Uh huh.
Because you know, I know when what caught my attention was like that pushing through. Mm-hmm. Like, where am I going?
Mm-hmm.
Where am I going? Mm-hmm. Truly. I mean, even the literal sense, like going back to my house, I mean, it's not like I'm going to turn on the television or, you know. So where am I going? And where am I going on the process level? There's literally only here.
Yeah.
So, gosh, just be here and receive that. You know, the gift of, it really could be a joyful place. It's pouring rain, it's freezing cold, it's 8:30 at night, and I'm totally willing to do these things. Wow, that's neat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that I have to do are take care of a beautiful place, they take care of me, they take care of, you know, the people I live with, they, you know.
It's almost tell me if it's your experience of it, it's almost like it's a motivation that's not human. I don't know exactly the right way to say it, but something like that. You know, I can really relate to what you're saying, but like there could be a joy in that, even though, you know, like I said, it's rainy and cold and late and everything, but it's not for me.
Exactly.
There's a much larger thing. It's almost like there's a much larger thing that's enjoying that also.
Yeah, that's well put. You know, to me it's back to the quote we sometimes talk about, of 99.9% of what we do is for the self. And there isn't one, no wonder we suffer.
No wonder we suffer.
So in the one orientation, all of the attention is on serving the self. And it can't be, there because it's an illusion, you can't do that. So that inherently, that's going to end in suffering and dissatisfaction and all those things.
Because it serves the self, which is not who we are.
Which is not who we are. Mm-hmm. And then what I hear you saying in that other place is, it's like, I mean, one way to talk about it would be, it's a serving life, which is... life is, and so in that, it's just, it is joyful, it is fulfilling, it is...
Because we're not in that movement, we're leaving the separate self behind in order to connect with what actually is.
Yeah.
I think I'm really appreciating what you're saying, is just like setting up a practice like that provides a mirror for that, the kind of processes you're looking at.
Uh-huh.
That just seems like such an important part of practice.
Uh-huh. You mean like the practice of having the intentions for the day? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, for example. I mean,
so at the end of the day, because
it could be a lot of things, but I mean, it's funny because it's not even about those things.
No, completely not about those things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if one forgot the things or even decided not to do the thing or whatever, you know, or colluded with conditioned mind. I mean, if you pay attention, you see everything.
That's right.
So it's not that inherently, oh, good, you know, good girl. You got home and did it all. Mm-hmm. I got all the stickers. You know, it's so not about that.
Right.
But that, there was something else about it. That's right through.
Well, it's so nice to set something up that is, the conditioning is not going to be supportive of.
Yeah.
And it does support the heart because it just divides everything up so clearly.
Yeah.
It makes it really clear where I'm coming from in relationship to that thing.
Yeah. And that my experience is that when there isn't that, I get dragged around.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I get dragged through it.
And it's hard to know that because there's not like a reference point to show, like there's not a mirror that we can look in and says, oh boy, I'm really being had.
Right.
Yeah. But when we have something like that, like you said, you know, like there's that, you know, so there's a situation, there's a commitment, and then there's the feeling of urgency, and all of that is, it's all brought up. And made available in your awareness because of the structure that's there.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. See,
Penny. I was seeing something in what was just said, and I've also seen something out of Thursday night group. So on Thursday night, in an exchange with Sherry, she brought up the issue of looking at doing things to support an identity. And that's just been so helpful because I've just seen it operating.
Uh-huh.
So it happened that on Friday, so that was Thursday night, Friday it happened that some occasions arose where I offered to do some things for some other people. And it was so interesting because the experience was the occasion arose and the response just arose with it.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, I could do that, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave me opportunities throughout the day to watch conditioning come in to try to make something of that about me.
To claim it for identity.
To claim it for identity. And either, aren't you wonderful for doing that?
Uh-huh.
Or, aren't you a poor victim, even though you're a poor slug that you end up doing, you know, having to do all these things for other people.
Uh-huh.
I mean, just had, and I wouldn't have seen it so clearly other than that I'd had that directive to pay attention.
Right.
And just watching the spontaneous moment and then conditioning trying to turn that into a being, into a personality.
It was too late. It wasn't there for the original response.
Yeah.
So all I can do is try to, it's got, you know, can pull you on this side or on this side, but try to pull you out of that place of just hyperjet, just living life, into some relationship with it where your identity can suffer.
Yeah, and I would have been pulled into that probably. Mm-hmm. I would have probably gone into I'm a good person thing.
Uh-huh.
If I hadn't, you know, been alerted to just get that.
Oh, watch out for that.
All that's happening is a thinking, something's being created here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in doing that, would have lost that experience of just having that arise.
Mm-hmm.
I would have lost that.
I missed it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then, in what was just being said, I also what I also brought up for you was that after certain events that an organization I'm part of does, we have various volunteers and that kind of thing, and I write thank you notes, handwritten thank you notes, which people tell me is unusual these days.
Okay.
You know, people say, wow, I'm not, and often it's, you know, like 15, 20 notes like that. And what I was just really seeing in that was, I mean, I write them because it's good for the organization, it's good relationships, we are in fact grateful. But what I was seeing and what was just said was, in the writing of them, it always feels like, the best way I can explain it, and it's sort of like what happened yesterday, Friday too, it's like weaving my particular thread of the fabric, you know, that it's there's a kind of helping to create wholeness in that,
mm-hmm.
that is so much bigger than any given note, you know,
mm-hmm.
or any given act,
mm-hmm.
but that it feels like without that, it would be like something was frayed and left hanging and
mm-hmm.
and not completed in a, and that my experience of writing those notes is of participating in that bigger thing.
Yeah, I've seen that too. It's hard to express, but you're expressing authenticity, you might say. You're expressing the wholeness of what is, or something like that.
Yeah.
Conditioning, you know, would not be into that, I imagine,
not
because
at all.
It's way into efficiency and these kind of things, pseudo efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
But so it really is like what we were talking about a moment ago. So you're setting that aside in order to, is in keeping with your, you know, you might say your highest nature or something like that. And there's participation in that that doesn't just feel good for you and expand your experience of yourself, but also ties something together in the whole and makes this whole thing a whole in a way that you appreciate.
Yeah. And I think I, again, I'm seeing it partly out of this conversation. It would feel like there was something incomplete or undone,
mm-hmm.
and there's something that just came through, but I also just dropped it. So
anyway. Well, that's a part of the response to life, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that experience in myself. It's like a feeling, there's a part for me to play,
mm-hmm.
and I can feel how essentially it's for me to play it,
yep.
even if the content is like next to nothing. But I don't feel whole unless I step into that place and perform that act.
Yep.
It could be just like picking up a piece of trash or something.
Exactly.
But if I don't,
it's huge.
It's humongous. It takes me exactly away from who I am and what I'm really living for.
Yeah, and you know, one of the places where I notice it is when I write those notes, a lot of them are to the same kind of businesses. And there's always, you know, what conditioning would say is, well, just write a note and then write the same note to everybody.
Uh-huh.
You know, make a template. And I never can do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I literally can't do that. I write the note and then I write the next note to those people and I write the next note to those people.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm seeing is that's, you know, again, it doesn't have anything to do with trying to do the right thing. It's mm-hmm. the thing to be done.
Yes.
That's what it feels like. It feels like the thing to be done and participation in that and how different that is.
Yeah, it is the thing to be done.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're really experiencing and expressing the place that's coming from, it seems mm-hmm. like.
And so it makes it a huge thank you that I participate in a way that I wouldn't otherwise.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, you get to receive it. Just,
yeah.
Yeah, who
yeah.
knows what they do? I mean,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Who knows what they think?
Yeah, yeah. It might look land anywhere over there,
yeah.
but you get to, you actually get the reception of that note yourself,
yep.
in because of the way that you're going about it,
yeah.
but because of your participation in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Well, I have been looking at the stickers, and you know, it's coming to the end of the month. So just last night, I was looking over March, you know, and just looking at the different days. And there was one day I noticed that was just covered with hearts. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I thought last night, I was thinking, oh, I remember that day. That was the day that I felt so horrible and didn't do anything that was on my list. Mm-hmm. I was just identified and miserable, and you know, all of that. And so I went home at the end of the day and covered it with hearts.
That's great.
And I thought, and hearts are valuable. Come on, there are fewer of them.
Yeah, so they're bigger too.
Yeah, so I really broke the bank in that one. But it struck me that is sort of what we're talking about, that short-circuiting the accomplishment system.
Yeah, because that's not what it's about at all.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really fun to see that.
Yeah, there really is about that compassionate relationship with a person. And I would imagine that's my worst word, I don't know what's yours, but that's the actual motivation behind the things that are on your list, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's funny how conditioning can take that and just disappear it. You know, because my motivation, like I'll speak for myself, is unconditional love and acceptance and support, because it supports you, because it's like exercise for this person. Mm-hmm. But it gets turned into a should, mm-hmm. or something like that. And so that whole motivation gets erased, even though the things themselves have not changed.
Yeah.
And so for you to, whatever your version of that is, for you to circle around and then, you get a bunch of hearts because of the hard day.
Yeah.
That brings it back to the original motivation, and it completes it in a way that conditioning just doesn't get it. It's trying to get away of all the time.
Yeah. That exactly points to what Sherry was talking about on Thursday, that I had a question about it, so I've been sitting with the question, these days. Mm-hmm. And that points to it. So she was saying, that here we are, and then there's this huge bubble in which everything around conditioning, does. And so there's all the, well, did I do it? Did I get the sticker? It's all coming. And then there's these connections, and it's all put together in ways that we didn't see before, so we think it's new, but it's really not. It's all just contained in this bubble. And the question that I had was, who is all of that talking to? And what dropped in is nobody. Basically,
no real person.
Mm-hmm. That's just one more illusion.
Yeah, it's kind of talking to itself.
Yes, it's conditioning talking to, and that's where there was a reference to, where's this innocent curly haired little kid, and she said, well, that kid gets sort of edged out.
It's not in that bubble.
It's
right?
Not in that bubble, mm-hmm. at all. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's just amazing to be looking at, because to take another little step back, because even that process, so I wanted so badly to ask that question and get that answer, and there wasn't time. Mm-hmm. And so I just was left with the question. Mm-hmm. And so even with the what was talked about earlier, well, where am I getting to? So what would I have when I got the answer? Is still one more of the getting folded into the bubble, as opposed to being not having time for it, sitting with it. It sort of just short-circuited the whole bubble system, and I got the process, which is the outcome of seeing that there is nobody.
Mm-hmm. That's right? Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's really kind of creepy in a wonderful sort of way. How perfectly everything lines up for each of us.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, that was perfect. That was absolutely perfect for you.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah, even though, however much you didn't like it when it happened, it was absolutely what was needed.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was the bubble. Or is this too much to say? It was the bubble who wanted it in that particular form.
Yeah, it was the bubble who was like, no, it'll be really short. That was the kind of person, with quotes, inside the bubble at that moment that was saying that, right?
That's, and that, it, would you agree, that's the person that's being talked to.
But we got the person.
It's got to be big quotes, right? because it's a person.
Yeah, and then sometimes that quote person is a, you know, anyway, that identity changes all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that in all the work we've been doing with the ego eye, what we're practicing is seeing how many versions of that there are.
Yeah.
And that relationship to all of the content in the bubble,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah, and that none of that is real, and
right.
none of it's authentic.
Yeah.
And I think I should have talked about this on Thursday too. There is an authenticity there.
Yeah.
That is not that.
Yeah.
That is it's kind of like it's getting used. Like I would project there is the place of that question I bet didn't come from the bubble.
Yeah.
Acting on it, but the awakening. There's an openness. You probably saw something that you couldn't articulate, and you wanted to kind of put a framework around it or something.
Yeah.
But then that's what happens. We try to put a framework around it, and that's the bubble.
Yeah.
But there's that spontaneous response to life that then gets sort of taken over or gets pulled into that mm-hmm. bubble. To make it something else.
Yeah, because actually the question is a beautiful question.
It, mm-hmm.
Who is it talking to?
Uh-huh, exactly.
And then all of a sudden it became really urgent that I get the answer to that question.
Yeah. Well, that's funny too, because the question obviously comes from outside the bubble.
Yes.
You know, who's talking to? That can only be asked from outside.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, you know, just immediately kind of, whoops, snap back.
Yeah, snap back.
Back into the bubble.
Yeah, and so what you said, because she also used that, she's like, there's awesome authenticity, which is sort of the ground, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the karma that just in all these various ways mm-hmm. lives out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just such a beautiful practice to, first of all, to get that's how it's set up. That's what, you know, being human life seems to be about, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to have the imagination, capacity, support, all of that to even one moment in one's life step outside that bubble.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's just a miracle in itself.
Yeah, and then plus you have, because you have way more experience of that authenticity than that.
Yeah.
I'm projecting, because that's, you know, you got to experience that there's a completely different place from that bubble to live from.
Yeah.
And that place, that's where that answer came from.
Yeah.
And that's where that other process, that life process, happened, where there was that kind of sitting with it, and the intelligence that animates was taking care of that and provided for you what sort of completed that original question.
Yeah, and that's possible all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I wonder if we can even say it's actually happening all the time.
Yeah, that's even better. That's
and this is just going on, and it was just distracting our attention, and we think that's what's happening instead of this that's happening.
And just to bring it full circle, when I was looking at my calendar with all those duties, I saw that that's what's been going on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The hearts, the compassion, the holding it all through all these days of us that really is what's been
mm-hmm.
and really if we look at our whole if I can look at my whole life, I can
mm-hmm.
see tons of evidence
mm-hmm.
that's the sustaining holding force if you will throughout it all.
Yeah, and the things that's missing, it seems like it's just acknowledging that.
Yeah.
It's just seeing that's what's going on, not this.
I'm not sure I remember exactly where I was headed, but this is
we're a whole new place.
But it was something about the literalness of all of everything. You know, we talk about it kind of in a way, and in another way, it's so literal. In that, what was just shared, in a way, is speaking to that how. There was a need to get the answer, and the answer wasn't there. And because of that, then there was a path for that to arrive in the person and
mm-hmm.
get the answer, basically kind of get the answer dropped in from life instead
mm-hmm.
of from, And so as we're entering the part of the year when we're focusing on the physical, that the body is the aperture for awareness and stuff. Mm-hmm.
That's doing drills and some training.
Yeah, and all of that. It seems like, and so the body is our, each individual being's way of accessing life.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it seems like for humanity, for all of people, the planet or the larger physical is our means to living in the way that we live.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And
couldn't do it without it.
Huh?
We couldn't do it without it.
We couldn't do it without it. And the thing you were talking about the real Zen and the pseudo Zen being like this, and yet the difference between the two seems like very literal, such a literal difference.
You know? A complete difference.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Just a complete difference, mm-hmm. And yet it's just that close.
Yeah, they look like it. If they look like they're the same, but they're actually completely different.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, and so in taking care of the physical being or the physical stuff that seems to be out there,
oh, it's hard to talk about.
Yeah, it is. I can do it really taking care. Or I can do it in the way that was talked about, where I have an idea of that I'm going to take care of it, and I go about it to get that done, or whatever.
And the I is really emphasized in that.
The I is totally the difference.
Yeah. It's not caring, taking care happening.
Yeah.
It's I'm taking care of this. And that's the difference between those two, the real Zen and the pseudo Zen. And it's
absolutely.
You might be doing exactly the same thing at the same time, looks like in the same way, but from a completely different place, and maybe even beneath awareness, having a completely different experience.
Yeah, and the outcome is very literally completely different.
Mm-hmm.
As we've already said, I'm just kind of repeating it, but...
even if, like, the dishes got done, if that was the thing, either way, the outcome is still completely different.
Right, the dishes got done, yeah, but... the love and the caring that could be there if I'm doing it for the dishes and for whatever else, you know, the kitchen or whatever, and for my participation, that's a whole different experience than slamming through that job so that I can run off and do something I want to do.
Right, yeah.
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 Hmm. Yeah, and so I see that in, you know, just all the time, just... This one, and this one, you know, mm-hmm. and in both instances, I may be, but the intention, the start-off intention may be in taking care.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think you're saying that, you understand that this happens,
mm-hmm.
And so you're basically watching how it doesn't happen sometimes.
Yeah, and noticing the difference in the outcome is because of the process.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it may look the same, but the internal, basically the difference is being here and actually experiencing it, or just, you know.
Yeah, because that is the process, and that is the outcome you get.
Yeah.
So if you're present, you get presence.
Right.
Which is everything that we want.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And in presence, then there's all that love, there's all that caring, there's all that belonging and participation, everything mm-hmm. we want is just in being here.
Yeah, and everything we don't want is in the other.
Is
the stress and the,
uh-huh.
am I good enough or not good enough?
Mm-hmm.
You know, am I the right person, not the right mm-hmm. person? You know, all that kind of stuff. If I have to have that outcome instead of mm-hmm. the way I'm doing it is really all that I care about.
Right, and if I'm trying to get something done for some kind of good end, but I'm not drinking water all day, and I'm not, I forget to water the plants, and
mm-hmm.
it just is a mess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Taking care doesn't happen.
Taking care does not happen, mm-hmm. yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just really, it's the same message always. You got to be right here, right now.
Uh-huh.
Every single second. And then everything evolves from that. It ripples out. In the outcome is continually being the desired outcome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's just so simple and yet so kind of easy to get sidetracked out of that.
I know, it's really true.
Yeah.
It's amazing, really. because it is utterly simple.
Yeah.
But boy, is it challenging to do.
Ongoing, yeah, mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, if you just decide to do it in a moment, you can do it, but then this comes in and that comes in, and pretty soon there's all that bubble stuff going on.
Yeah. Great, thank you. Sam, how about you next?
I want to talk about sticky some more.
Some more sticky, okay.
I noticed yesterday that the last few days, in fact, there was one day, 3 or 4 days ago, the number of stickies had dropped off. One day there were none, and I just hate that. I walked home, and I was going to just put stickies like you've never seen.
We should order a case or two.
I have some kind of little fruit emblems that smell like fruit. I'm going to go home and eat some of those. But I think on that day, they didn't get any, but someone kind of got it helped, kind of got looked out. There's going to be a heart with a silver star right in the middle of it. And then I had some frog, wouldn't someone put a frog on it too? So I just wanted to.
And what's that?
Well, it's from outside the bubble. I get stuck in the bubble, and there's no. That's where the self-forgetting is.
Mm. The self-forgetting.
Yeah, it's that place, which is for this karma, it's a huge place of. It's not important. It's silly. It's just a game you're playing. You don't deserve it. You know, it's self-hate, and it's so it just, this person just gets so, in periods of time, can so easily get talked out of doing things that she was committed to that are fun. Yeah. That the little girl just has such fun with.
Yeah, so anything like that is going to meet that campaign. To get to.
Yeah. And looking at that calendar and seeing the drop off the number of stickies, there's just a big red flag, a big red heart.
Yeah, that's neat. Yeah, to step outside the bubble. Yeah. Yeah. And see how untrue all that stuff is. Thank you. David.
Well, there was something that was mentioned in group last Sunday, and I think the expression was like a choice point. I think that was what was brought up, and I was kind of sitting with that. Not, I had a sense of what that was, but I wasn't quite sure. I kind of wanted to check it out and stuff. So it was kind of in there in my consciousness all week, and I think it's one of those things where I had a decent sense of it. In terms of like a doing, in a way. So getting to that point where, you know, moment by moment, there's the choice point, like that, you know, I can either go and I can either do what life is offering or kind of act out the karma to ignore that or to kind of go bypass it in some way. Mm-hmm. And there's two pieces of this that I'm looking at. So that, there's the kind of quote-unquote external, the doing part of that. And then last night I woke up at like 3:30 in the morning, and all of a sudden I had an experience that I wanted to kind of check out this morning to see if it was along these lines with like a choice point. And what occurred was I was lying there, and as I was looking up, it just kind of dropped in that choice point to have attention in the silence. Versus allowing an identity to start noodling or thinking about karma is like always going on. Mm-hmm. And last night when I was lying there, and you know, it was perfect because there was nothing else going on. You know,
a good time.
It was just ideal, and it was. I really felt grateful that life kind of sat there, because I was wide awake for some reason, and I hadn't been, you know, tossing and turning and stuff. I just kind of woke up. And then also after this passed, I fell back asleep solidly, but was wide awake for this. And what I saw with it, the other point that I saw with it, the other piece I saw with it was, even though it's a choice point, it feels like there's an I who has to habitually choose to think or to go with the karma. But there isn't an I, there's nothing that has to choose the silence. Mm.
That's interesting. So it's like a, how would you say it, like a one-sided choice.
Yeah.
Like, or without, it's one of those, like the silence is here when you're not doing anything else.
Exactly. For some reason, I don't know why this expression was dropping in, but it was like, it's like a choiceless choice. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, and it's hard to even speak about per se, but it just, when it came in so clearly in the sense of like, oh my gosh, like, that's always happening, moment by moment, that there is this opportunity to kind of not choose to be, I mean, at some levels it's just completely simplistic, this is what we always talk about, but to not go to the conversation, mm-hmm. to not enter into that karmic dialogue, mm-hmm. and just the piece it's the identity that is entering into that. So it mm-hmm. felt like they were two completely different processes.
Almost like there's a person who chooses karma and a person who chooses silence.
Yeah.
But it's not really. It's just a person chooses karma, and then what is.
And then what is, yeah. And it, mm-hmm. that's a really nice way to put words to it, actually, because it was that. And it was just this place of, I don't even know, my goodness, you know, just oh my, that's it. Like, that's possible. Mm-hmm.
Through a not choosing.
Through a not choosing. That was the thing, is that there wasn't, and yet there was an element of awareness that saw, that sees the possibility. Mm-hmm. So there's a whole other, you know, it's the way you said it, I really enjoyed that, that there's a person who's choosing the karma. And even though it feels like there would be a person who would then choose the silence, it's not that. Mm-hmm. It's not that at all. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there's kind of an expansive awareness, or there's something there that is able to perceive and be aware that there is kind of technically, quote unquote, a choice.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that's the silence?
Perhaps, yeah. Yeah, I hadn't. Yeah, like aware of itself.
Yeah, and also aware of what's not it.
Right, exactly.
Because if you're in the person who's choosing karma, you're not aware you're in the person who chooses karma. Mm-hmm. You have to be outside of that in order to see it.
Yeah.
And it seems like the only place that's outside of that is here. Mm-hmm.
And the person choosing karma, both the person and the karmic conversation or the karma, can still be around. Mm-hmm. It's still like, that was the part of the thing last night, mm-hmm. was that it wasn't like that wasn't there.
Right.
It was there. It's just that it was like, I don't know, it was just like this really neat little movement into. Yeah.
Well, you mentioned attention a minute ago, and that's really what was going on, isn't it? Your attention was on the silence instead of it.
Yeah.
Or was maybe not even on, but with.
Yeah.
You're looking through what's here at what's going on, instead of looking through a person at what's going on.
Yeah. I don't know if this is true at all, but just what came in was, attention was the silence in that moment.
Yeah, that's kind of what I keep getting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't actually know if that's so, but that kind of, like, the attention was the silence.
And awareness is.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Awareness is. And I think what was kind of really so cool about it was the fact that all that other stuff was there. Mm-hmm. And I could see clearly, oh, that's a choice. You know, it would be a choice to go down there, mm-hmm. for that person. Mm-hmm. And yet awareness is, and yeah, so it was just fun to I don't know if fun is the correct word for it necessarily, but it was just one of those moments that, you know, it's like, oh, I wonder if that's the whole, like, choice point thing, that mm-hmm. moment by moment, mm-hmm. you know, that's always going on. Mm-hmm. And I've been having a lot of these, you know, by every evening it feels like there is this place where the silence wins out. And it just, it's lights out for the other side. Mm-hmm. And so no matter what the day has been, you know, hellacious, peaceful, whatever it is, it's almost like there comes a certain point by the evening as things begin to close down a little bit, where it's like the silence is the, you know, that's just the place to reside. Mm-hmm. But I hadn't actually seen those two together so clearly.
Mm-hmm. And really experienced what's possible in yeah. the moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how is that, and also how that's is not the experience. How there's a choice that's being made. I don't want to say you're making it, because it's not you who's making it. It's not authenticity to me, but it's a separate self who's making it.
Yeah.
There's a choice being made for something else, moment by moment.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And earlier in the afternoon or the evening, there was what I heard really, really clearly was at one point a voice came in and was like kind of screaming or pitiful or something, and it was basically, but then there's nothing left. That was its whole jab. But then there's nothing left, and it was very cool to see that wasn't like it was happening through my body. That mm-hmm. kind of terror of like, oh my God, there's nothing in the silence. Mm-hmm. But what was clear was, there's nothing for me,
right.
it, in the silence. So it was kind of this somewhere between like a murderous scream and like a pitiful, you know, self-pitying, sorry for himself. But it was clear that though it was happening here, it's not me who was, it was like there.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's so important to see too, isn't it? Because to identify with that would be hard.
To what, sorry?
I was trying to find the right word. To identify with that would be tough.
Oh, God. I mean, that's all I usually do.
Yeah. Yeah. So and to see that that's not just that you, it's even bigger than you have a choice, but it's just, it's not you.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's not even, well, I'm going to choose this way of being or that way of being. It's almost you, like, you can't do that. It's an illusion that you can choose to be this thing that you're not, and that's how we suffer.
Yeah.
You know, who you are is that awareness that, you know, is the silence like you were talking about earlier.
Yeah. Yeah, that isness.
The isness.
That's the whole thing that dropped in was it's the isness. And the isness, I think what it felt like was, and I think there was like a little chuckle behind it all for all the suffering that I usually indulge, was that the isness is an unstoppable force.
Yeah, you don't even have to choose to be it.
That's the whole point. Mm-hmm. That was the whole thing that came in, is that it's an inevitability for everyone. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the whole deal.
It's the only thing that's actually going on.
that was the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And then I fell sound asleep afterwards.
That's great. Thank you. Scott?
I'm not sure what all the sticky pieces is, although I heard Sherry talk about that yesterday a little bit. But it was bringing up something that I've been watching for a little while. It's coming up right now in this group, which is how much an identity shows up to learn about Zen, shows up to groups, shows up to phone calls and things like that with the monastery. And it was just going on right now again, too, around this person who's a student, who's learning, and he's with older kids, and they're all just a little bit smarter than him, mm-hmm. and he's not quite getting it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, in that identity, then there's somebody who's trying to understand mm-hmm. and learn, mm-hmm. and, you know, we're dealing with awareness here.
So I know it actually works.
Yeah, no. It's like, yeah, there's just no way for that to occur.
It ain't gonna happen.
It's not gonna happen. And that's just really good to see too. And also just noticing that there really didn't need to be a lot of reassurance for that guy. Mm-hmm. Just needed to kind of come back here to the breath.
Yeah, you needed to not be him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's probably all he needs too.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, he didn't need a lot of conversation. He needed to not have to be in that role, because he really doesn't want to be in that role, and it's not helpful.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, isn't it? That if you disidentify, you come here, that completely takes care of that.
Yeah.
I don't know if we could say it takes care of him, because as a separate self, but it takes care of the, you know, you might say the authentic energy or whatever that's in that's being turned into suffering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then he doesn't really exist anymore, so there's no problem.
No problem.
Yeah.
No, that's interesting. So how do things look from where you are now?
Well, what was interesting is just disidentifying a little bit. Mm-hmm. I didn't necessarily like understand anymore, mm-hmm. but I felt expansive. I felt relaxed. It didn't really matter if I really understood what people were saying.
Is it one of those where it's kind of coming in but not through the brain?
Yep.
You know that one?
Yeah, I could feel it in my body.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel a little older.
Yeah, that's fun. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
It's bypassing conditioned mind, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting to consider that there's another type of understanding that conditioned doesn't get at all. Mm-hmm. It's just a receiving.
Exactly.
I bet you what will happen, it'll be interesting to see, but as you go along, kind of like other people have talked about a couple times, you will see how you got what we were talking about. Mm-hmm. As you're going along,
yeah,
you know, not because you have drawn some conclusion about it or you've extracted some idea or something, but you just see it. It's like, that was what we were talking about earlier,
right? Because there's awareness that's always here, mm-hmm. that's always receiving. Mm-hmm. There's always that transmission. So there's something taking it in, whether I'm there understanding it or not.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think one of the points you're making is I can't understand
right.
it.
Exactly.
Guy just gets in the way. Yeah. And so what you're practicing is, it sounds like you are disidentifying from the eye and are setting the eye aside and just being open to what's happening. And you're feeling how the, I don't know if we can say understanding or the information or whatever is landing in a place that conditioned mind doesn't really have access to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually right now I can feel, my body feels a lot more, I'm much more, I can feel the sensation in my skin right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, well, that's always going on, I'm just now aware of it. That's where my attention is.
Just like we were just talking about. Yeah, that's always what's actually happening. And then there's these identities, like the one you described, that come in. We believe that that's who we are. We get pulled off into this place where suddenly we're not aware of what's going on, not even aware of our own bodies. We're just aware of this reality that gets created, that is just made up.
And you know what's so lovely about being here? There's nothing that's going to continue to... There's nothing here that's going to help maintain that identity.
Right.
So it just like sort of fell off like relatively quickly.
Yeah, yeah. You'd have to work really hard to
keep
it going. Yeah. Thank you.
It's a quick one. It's just great to be reminded of how you do anything is how you do everything this mm-hmm. morning.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, sometimes those little small things can get overlooked the stickers, the stickies. And so it's just good to see a lot in the sticky process this morning. And the categorizing of stickers. And, you know,
yeah, how do you decide?
Yeah. And there's not that many of those stickers, and there's more of these stickers than we got a partial amount. So, uh-huh. You know, we get to the end of the thing, we've used them all equal. Oh my God. and that certain things are more valuable, you know, they deserve a, you know, one of the more rare stickers.
Uh-huh.
You know, and other things get, you know, they get a smiley face.
Uh-huh.
And, oh my God. Just seeing that whole process and how it just, it makes everything real small.
And it makes everything real small.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Kind of just takes the joy out of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Something that would be expansive.
Expansive
without.
And, yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. And just, you know, being aware of that energy that just, like, you know, wants to gobble up all the hard stickers, you know? Mm-hmm. So what? You know?
I mean, there's probably stores that are full.
Exactly. Let her do it, you know? And what if it was even like, well, really went to heck with myself and drew hearts, you know?
Oh, that's a good idea.
You know? Doesn't it, you know? It's uh-huh. Just like jump outside of the whole box. And,
It really is a how we do anything is how we do
it. It really is. And it's right there. It's just right there. And I've just been reading a little bit of Katagiri lately, and he's, you know, it's just talking about it's just a reminder that, you know, it's there, and the sticker, it's there in the brushing the teeth. It's not, you know, it's just not going to be any place else if it's not there.
Yeah.
And
in everything.
In everything.
Every, no matter how small.
No. And I don't know, yesterday it just dropped in for me, a life plan.
Wow.
And I swear, I just felt like if I did nothing else for the rest of my days except relaxed, approached the Buddha nature in everything, and danced, that would take care of the rest of my life. And I wouldn't have to noodle one more thing. Figure out one more thing. But to just bring the ability to be and presence and awareness to remember to do those three things throughout the day.
It would take care of everything.
It'd take care of the whole ball of wax.
When in doubt, dance.
So I'm just putting that out there. That's my commitment.
All right. Yeah. Cool. That's fine.
Jim. Just super quickly, we got to end, but that was so fun, that thing about it. And I could draw the heart.
Uh-huh.
So parallel tracks in Zambia, you know, we...
You guys did, well, you looked for
something. Kind of by accident. I wasn't even thinking about it at the time, but the entire focus of what we were doing in this Living English program and blah, 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 was like, okay, well, let's see, how are we going to really track the attendance? Well, let's have charts on the wall. I mean, it was really very mechanical kind of a thing.
You had no idea you were paralleling.
No, and then it just suddenly we realized it, and then we went on this great looking for stickers. Like stickers, you know? And as far as I can tell, you cannot buy a sticker at Indul. And, you know, it makes a lot of sense in a place where most people don't have enough money for food. Stickers wouldn't be a high commodity.
Yeah.
So then we were like, well, let's draw their stars on the thing. And that turned out to be the best part of the whole thing.
Way better than stickers?
So much fun, because they get to go up, especially the little kids. You know, they go up and put their star. And when the first day when we were doing it, I watched, I was like, The grown-ups were showing them, and I almost went, that's not a star. Not my version of a star.
There's some great photos in the blog.
And the care they're taking to learn at it, and looking over at the teacher at first, you know, is this how I do it? Is this how I do it? And then they'll put another line there and another. Oh, it was so much fun. But I talked to Teresa the other day, and she said, oh my gosh, Jen, it is working. The kids are, right after they eat their meal, they're coming running into their classroom. If they don't find a teacher, they go to find her to say, I have to put my star in the chart. So they're having a parallel experience.
The same experience, yeah, that's fine. But the same kind of possibility, that's
it. It's a huge possibility, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you have something, Jim?
Thank you. I've been looking again at the day that didn't get any sticky.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure where this is coming from. So I'm going to just put it out there and sit on your little help with it. Maybe leave that day as a reminder. Leave that day blank as a reminder of how painful that is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That feels right to you right now.
It is. It's feeling right mm-hmm. now. It's just, yeah.
It really points at what's so, doesn't it? It is really painful when we are to use the language we used earlier, when we're trapped in a bubble like that. Especially, you know, when you earlier when you were listing those things that are in your bubble. Those are painful and happy things. Into from the light room to the dark room in such subtle ways and so slowly sometimes that we don't, it's hard to wake up because we don't realize that we've fallen asleep.
Yeah.
But something like that could help you remember that it's that that's possible, that you've had an experience of that and you've had an experience of waking up from that and seeing what it is.
Just a quick thing. In the Rumi retreat, we had a poem where Rumi was talking about, he's kind of an ecstatic Sufi poet, and he was talking about how he had been just a really good practitioner, you know, and I don't know exactly how he words it, it's not like this, but I'm just laying it out, and that he had been doing his practices and thinking they were really important, and not that they aren't, but he got to a point where he just woke up and he said he just had to stop and clap and sing. So I was reminded of that when there was about relaxing and dancing and
yeah, it's the same kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
You just have to wake up and Do something that's not the old habit of suffering.
Yeah.
Dance, clap, and sing.
Right, and he also said that at some point, the universe just turned him into a person who instead of praying, out of him, instead of prayers, came poetry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just how he expressed himself. He just saw life in that way, as an outcome of his practice,
which is another form of clapping and singing.
Absolutely, especially his.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Thank you all.
Mm-hmm.